This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom at The Wall Street Journal. And it seems that social media has become a little bit of a dicey place, ripe for the infiltration of all kinds of propaganda. Case in point, Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. have been spending months trying to ferret out covert Russian influence on all of their sites. Meanwhile, RT, that's the Russian state news organization, one that federal intelligence officials call the Kremlin's principal international propaganda outlet, uses Google's YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter as the main distributors of its content. How does social media fight back? Let's get the latest on the current state of affairs. Joining us now, patching in from San Francisco, is The Wall Street Journal's Jack Niggas. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
So it's no secret that the Russian government has been hard at work infiltrating various forms of social media. The election was obviously a shining example of this. Now, it's all funneled through RT. That's the Russian state news organization. Your reporting really gets into the scope of just how much exposure it's been capable of. Can you kind of put it into perspective for us?
Yeah, so what we reported is the main distribution method for RT is actually three American companies, Facebook, Twitter, and primarily Google's YouTube site. So, you know, RT is really prolific on YouTube especially. It has amassed, you know, just its main channel has more than 2.1 billion views, and compared to CNN's main channel on YouTube having about 2.2 billion views, and Fox News, for example, has 600 million. And then across, you know, more than 20 channels on YouTube, RT has amassed 5.5 billion views over the past several years, and that makes it, by some measures, maybe the most watched news network on YouTube.
Wow. So it seems like there's something inherent about social media that can allow for this to happen, that can allow unreliable news sources to thrive like this. Is that what it comes down to? Is it ultimately just too easy?
Well, it's basically that these social media sites have been built as open platforms that no matter who you are, you can really put anything you want on there. There, of course, over the past several years have been tougher policies about certain inappropriate content, whether adult content or, you know, incitement of violence, et cetera. But for the most part, most content is going to be allowed, and tech platforms, Google, Facebook, and Twitter, try to take a hands-off approach and try to be sort of a platform for an open exchange of ideas. But that can mean that, you know, misinformation or even government propaganda can really spread and thrive on these platforms, and that's an issue that is drawing new scrutiny now.
Yeah, and grappling this for any given social media company has got to be quite the challenge. How do you monitor such a huge entity? And the fine line with free speech comes into play. Have social media companies had much success in managing this?
I think they're still struggling because, you know, the reality is there isn't an easy answer. On one end, you say, well, we don't want a lot of this misinformation, of course, on these platforms, so how do we get it off? And if that involves, you know, the companies themselves acting as the arbiters of what's true and what's not, that of course could be a slippery slope as well. So it is not an easy solution. And obviously, you know, complicating this all is the sheer scale of these networks. YouTube, for example, has, you know, 400 hours of footage uploaded every minute. You know, Facebook has more than 2 billion users. This is not something that even with thousands and thousands of human reviewers would be very difficult to police. And beyond that, you know, technology just is not sophisticated enough to do this in an automated fashion, because a lot of these questions about whether a news article is accurate or not, or whether this is a conspiracy theory or a deeply reported piece, it's difficult for the most advanced artificial intelligence to understand that yet.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Jack Niggas about how Russian state news outlet RT is thriving on social media. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Thanks for joining us. So it seems the best bet for a lot of these companies, I know Facebook has been trying to grapple with this, it seems like it has to be some sort of mixture of whatever tech they can use and whatever human element they can use. And as you said, it's very difficult on both fronts, but using some sort of hybrid solution seems to be the only way any social media company has even begun to grapple with this.
Yeah, that really has been the approach of many of the social media companies at this point is a mixture of, you know, using software to try to proactively root out some problematic content and then using, you know, human reviewers to review other content, and especially also relying on their own users to flag things that they think are an issue.
It's obviously a big mountain to climb, and this is only the beginning, so we'll be sure to follow this story as we learn more. Jack Niggas, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For more on reporter Jack Niggas' coverage on the story, you can head to WSJ.com. This has been The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.